Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the second edition of Carson's Corner here on Blog Talk Radio. We have two very, very special guests, one of which is no stranger to Carson's Corner, Justin Harvey. And also we welcome to the show Master Todd Summers. Both of you, welcome to Carson's Corner.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Appreciate you coming here, really do. Master Summers, I want to start with you just to sort of get my audience familiar with your career in the martial arts. Just tell people, if you would, how you came to study martial arts and you know, just go from there.
Okay. Started when I was 7 and kind of got in it, then I got out of it a little bit, and then the Karate Kid movie came out. Then I really got into it and got dedicated with it. Got my first black belt I got was in Kenpo Karate. And then moved to Bloomington, Indiana, where I trained at Legion Martial Arts for a while there. And got my black belt in Hapkido, and Jeet Kune Do Taekwondo. And them been my primary focus is them two art styles, the Hapkido and the Taekwondo. And studied for many years through there and stuff. Competed, won 4 national titles for Hapkido. Got a silver medal at the World Games in 2005 and a bronze medal at the World Games in 2005. And both of them games were in Columbus, Ohio with the Junpei Chase tournament.
Mm-hmm.
From there, kind of got tired of competing and stuff. Wanted to concentrate on more of my teaching. Started White Tiger Martial Arts June 2005, and we're still going. We'll be having our 10-year anniversary coming up in 2015. And then it was, I'm trying to think here, like 2013, I believe it was. I've been friends with Bill Superfoot Wallace for a lot of years. And I trained with him and trained under him, and I got my first degree in the Super Pro system. So I got a black belt from Bill Wallace, and our school is also one of Bill Wallace's schools. So we teach what Bill teaches, the Super Pro system, the kickboxing style and stuff. So that's pretty much a Reader's Digest version of what I've done and what my career has been like.
That's a very, very impressive, it really is, you know, spanning back almost, a few decades and linking up with Bill Superfoot Wallace, who's very, very familiar to mixed martial art fans out there. And, you know, it's good. It's good to see an individual that has accumulated so much knowledge in martial arts and titles and whatnot, you know, essentially give back to the community by teaching, and it's really, really admirable. And it's also good, too, that you've sort of recognized Justin as well, because Justin, you know, I know from your time on Carson's Corner and just me knowing you going back to 2008, I believe, is when we first met, mm-hmm. that you, too, have studied martial arts, and it's you know, it's a love of the martial arts that I think all of us possess in one form or another.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, absolutely, Bob.
Yeah, and so, you know, that's what sort of brings us here today. Master Summers, tell us, how did you come to recognize Justin Harvey? How did you begin to sort of work with him?
Well, I had met, excuse me. I had met Justin basically scrolling through YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And I ran across some of the interviews he had done, and we just became, I found him on Facebook, we became friends from there, and he asked me to be on one of his shows back in, I believe it was 2011, or the end of 2011, 2012, and we've pretty much had a friendship since then. So, you know, with my connections, I've tried to help him out with his shows, you know, from day one.
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead, Justin.
And I got to say to Master Summers, Bob, you know, I have met a lot of martial artists, you know, doing my line of work, but knowing Master Summers and having quit and traded for anything in the world, because, you know, he's a great guy to have on your side.
Well, it seems like it, and it seems like the two of you, you know, have a mutual respect for one another.
Oh yes, definitely. You know, he Justin's done a lot of stuff, and a lot of, you know, people bashed and this and this. The same thing with here. You know, you gotta have each other's back nowadays. You know, if you
right.
if not loyal to your friends, you know, who are you gonna be loyal to?
Right. Now, Master Summers, how did you come to get involved with the Martial Arts Hall of Fame?
I believe it was 2008 was my first induction, and I didn't know anything about it. I didn't even know it had I knew it was out there, but it wasn't one of them things going, oh, I hope I can get in there one day. You know, I figured it was just for, you know, movie star types, you know, action
right.
film stars, things of that nature. So I went out there to, I was going to my school, and I checked the mail for the business, and there's a gas bill, the electric bill, and there's this big yellow envelope, and I'm the USA Martial Arts Hall of Fame. And I'm like, okay, what's this? And I was nominated and to be inducted for Hapkido Instructor of the Year. And I had no idea. But I had been nominated by a man in Terre Haute. I believe his name was Jim Fox, I believe it was. I had done his tournament for the Wabash Valley tournament. And I had gotten like two or three first place trophies. And we had done like Hapkido demonstrations and things of that nature. And that's where I first became a part of it, was right then, because I had called up Grandmaster Jim Thomas at the time to find out if it was real or what was going on and stuff. And it was real, and so I've been a part of that every year in one way, shape, or form. I've become popular at the Indianapolis Hall of Fame because I'm known as the Hapkido guy. Right? We do a lot of cane weaponry, cane defense, and
mm-hmm.
things of that, you know, the Hapkido cane weapon and stuff. So I've become known for that. So it's pretty much, there's an Indianapolis Hall of Fame, you know, I'm going to be there doing Hapkido.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been fun. It's fun watching it grow, and it's, you know, the Hall of Fame thing is, it's kind of like the high school reunion, except it's icy. You know?
Well, you know, I think it's more than that. It's from what I understand, and correct me if I'm wrong, you've had several famous inductees over the years, you know, within the martial arts community and the fighting world itself.
Yes. We've, you know, Don the Dragon's been there, Cynthia Rothrock's been inducted, you know, the Fielder for Wallace, Wes Sims.
Yeah.
Need, and the list just goes on and on and stuff, but it's like the Hall of Fame, it's about, it's not just about that, it's people like Justin,
right,
who really pushed the envelope and tried to promote the martial arts through the radio show, and, you know, other guys that will work, you know, they'll work a first and second job and have a second mortgage on their house and do these things so they can keep their schools open because they're passionate about it.
Right.
It's like, you know, how far are you willing to take this? You know, it's people have set, put, you know, second and third mortgages to do their house. People have lost relationships. I was divorced. I, you know, my school, you know, 2011, I got divorced over it. And it's, you know, like Bill, I had dinner with Bill Wallace, and he's like, it takes a special person to understand the mind of a martial artist.
Right.
Because we're thinking, all right, what do we got to do to make this kid better? What do we got to do for this family? What can we do to make our school better? What, you know, I got to go to this tournament this week, and I got to do this next weekend. It's a chaotic lifestyle. So the Hall of Fame looks at an individual that, you know, puts, you know, blood, sweat, and tears into everything that keep their martial arts passion alive, not just for them, but for their community and their school. So, yeah, the Hall of Fame is, you know, it does have the celebrities, but it's really about also the martial arts that's on the square in your local town that's been there for 15 years, and he's, you know, given everything to the community.
Right. Yeah, that's very, very well said, and it's really, really, I think, admirable that we can recognize these figures. And, you know, it comes down to the love of martial arts. That's what I think it all comes down to is the dedication. I mean, sometimes in the sport of mixed martial arts, the sport that I cover with this show, you don't see true martial artists sometimes. I think the sport itself, because of a few different things, you know, marketing and all that stuff, gets away from the true principles of a martial artist. And so it's good to see the USA Martial Arts Hall of Fame still have the principles of martial arts and still recognize those that are contributing to the martial arts community. At the risk of financial peril, you know, it's so important. It lives on, and it's about giving back to the community. And as we've said on this program, Justin Ray Harvey is going to be a 2015 inductee into the USA Martial Arts Hall of Fame, which I think is just remarkable on so many different levels. The challenges that Justin faces and overcomes, his perseverance when it comes to the promotion of martial arts is like something that I've never seen before. His dedication and his inspiration to others out there is really, really noteworthy. And, you know, I want to thank you, Todd, or you, Master Summers, and thank everybody at the USA Martial Arts Hall of Fame for this noteworthy induction.
Oh yeah, I'm glad, you know, when I nominated him, it didn't take long at all. They're familiar with the show and everything else. I'm like, yeah, at least without a doubt, let's do this. So I was happy that they granted it, because not everyone gets in. You know, you have these guys that, you know, that you've seen, you'll see him like a Bullshito, where, you know, this guy's 22 years old, he's a ninjutsu expert, he has, you know, 18 10th degree black belts.
Right, yeah.
And they just kind of look at the guy's application, they're like, okay, good luck, you're not getting in, you know.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah, you know, like Justin, you know, everything he's doing, good. He's promoting the art. He's pushing the envelope as much as he can, not just in the world of martial arts, but even, you know, martial arts films. You know, everyone loves Kickboxer and Bloodsport,
right.
The Karate Kid, and, you know, you got these classic martial arts films. Yeah, Justin's doing a very fantastic job of promoting the art.
Justin, I want to go to you now.
Okay.
What do you feel like being inducted? I know just from knowing you personally how much this means to you on a personal level, but describe to the audience how you feel or how you felt when you learned that you would be inducted into the Martial Arts Hall of Fame in 2015.
Well, honestly, to describe the feeling, and I'm going to put this out on record, with me going into the Hall of Fame, even though this is for me, I'm a disabled individual, and I feel like that I'm representing those that cannot speak for themselves or the ones that get overlooked in the disabled community. But honestly, I feel like champion of the world.
Yeah. When you say that, it really is inspiring because, you know, you said, yeah, this is not only for you. This is representing everybody that has a disability of one form or another. And, you know, it becomes very inspiring to those people out there. It encourages them to continue in martial arts because there's a place for everybody in martial arts. Your ability, there's sometimes no level there's no limit to what somebody can achieve. And seeing someone, you know, like yourself, again, who has had a lot of adversity in his life when it comes to physical disabilities, to see you continue in the martial arts and be so active on so many different levels, it really paves the way for the next inductee into the USA Martial Arts Hall of Fame.
Oh, absolutely, Bob. And, you know, I want to kind of say, you know, even though this year's almost over, Master Summers may not know this, but I'm already prepping for my shows for next year already. So I'm already scheduling shows for next year, and they're going to be top-notch.
Yeah, it's not the... Justin's getting a lot of followers.
So.
Yeah, absolutely. It's almost a real service, I think, to the community out there. Because there's a lot of nostalgia around these films, Justin. And I know, you know, Justin will call me, a few times a week and say, "Well, yeah, you know, I've got this guy. He was in Kickboxer. He was in this film or that film." And it takes you back to a time where the villains, the characters in these films were almost larger than life. And I don't think you have real characters like that in the films that you have today. You know, I mean, you have a few different action stars, but you had back in those days, and I know, Justin, you've interviewed a lot of these guys. They really were larger than life, and they really made you think and made you almost, you know, oh, I want to train. I want to beat the next, you know, Tong Po, or I want to fight this guy, to better myself. So it's really good to have a show that really relives, you know, what we saw back in the 80s with these films that were just classic.
Oh, absolutely, Bob. And I wanted to add this too. Not only am I honoring myself, but I feel like that I'm honoring my brother's wishes because before he had passed, Bob, I had got into a really bad depression and I had stopped doing shows. And he flat out told me, he said, "You need to start doing your show again." He said, "You're good at it." And he said, he says, "I believe that that's your calling, you know. That's what you're meant to do." And, you know, I honor his memory by doing these shows.
That's amazing.
Justin's show has grown so much just in the last 6 months. You know, it's like when I had my divorce, I didn't want to go to my school, nothing. But, you know, it's like, you know, Justin's kept fighting, and like, I had to keep going. And everyone's got that moment to just, you're going to lay down and die, or you're going to stand up and, you know, keep swinging.
Yeah.
You know, that's the option.
I got to tell you, Bob, I don't mean to interrupt you, Bob, but I got to share this with Carson's Corner. It's amazing how much respect I've got from these, you know, martial artists. For an example, I texted Ernie Reyes Sr. a very well-respected master in the martial arts, and I told him about my, you know, induction into the USA Martial Arts Hall of Fame, and he's like, you know, it's great to have a friend like you in the USA Martial Arts Hall of Fame. So, I mean, not only am I getting these great interviews, but I'm gaining a lot of respect from a lot of masters as well.
Well, that's really important. It really is, because I'm sure Master Summers can, I'm sure all of us can acknowledge that we have some pretty big egos in the world of martial arts. And I see it a lot on, particularly in the MMA side right now. But I think that something like this is something that everybody can just acknowledge, and everybody can respect the decision and all of the implications around the decision for the future. So it's great to see, you know, such acknowledgement like this.
Absolutely, Bob. I mean, I've got a huge show already booked for 2015. I am just waiting for this year to end, and it's going to be, you think that this show was great this year. When I do this one huge show, it's going to blow people's minds.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
No, we're just talking about the, you know, Justin's show, you know, as far as the guests go, it's, you know, longevity, you got to have legitimacy. You know,
right.
He's bringing, you know, Ernie Ray and Bill and Don and all these martial arts icons on the show. It gives the show longevity because you're bringing actual legitimate people on there.
Right.
And that is a big difference no matter what you do. You know, like my world of martial arts and their schools. I've had 15 schools pop up just around me in my town, and all 15 have gone down in flames.
Yeah, wow.
There won't be, you know, like, oh, we're going to do this, you know, this cross-breeded style of martial arts. And then the parents come into their school, then they come into mine, they're like, oh, this is night and day. So, you know, with my school, it was like, I started my school and the economy fell through the floor.
Right.
Not a good time to start a business, but
right.
To the being legitimate, it's been around for 10 years, and the same thing with Justin. He's running a legitimate show, and that's what it takes to have a good career out of this.
Yeah, that's a very good point, is that you've got the external factors out there, such as the economy, and I would submit, and, you know, this is a really good question for you to answer, Master Summers, is I would submit to a certain extent, the UFC, the largest mixed martial art promotion out there, which now we see is opening up all these gyms. You know, I drive in my local town, I see UFC, you know, the UFC logos on these gyms, and it seemed like that, something like that, competing with a giant like the UFC that's opening up schools and you know, teaching these classes. Would put pressure on, you know, individual school owners like yourself that are teaching more traditional martial arts out there. And so it's like, you know, there's a lot of people want to train MMA nowadays, but you know, people, because they don't see your style of martial arts being implemented in the UFC. And
right.
Sort of like, almost like, oh, it's not valid and whatnot. So that just got to make it that much more harder for you. And the fact that you're able to thrive in this climate while others are failing, seemingly, is a testament to the product that you're delivering to these people out there. It's a testament to the value that you're delivering out there, where you can have loyal students, you can have mothers that come into your school and want their child to train in your facility as opposed to some, you know, pumped up UFC gym out there with the cage and whatnot.
Well, it has nothing to do with the the UFC style or anything like that. What it boils down to, a lot of people don't understand that, is there's several different, like, traditional martial arts schools. And this is where sometimes traditional martial arts schools get that bad name from, like, the MMA guys. Like, oh, my God, they're doing the itty karate garbage. Is some karate schools are a daycare.
Right.
They, you know, oh, with 15 stripes on his belt and having him break a piece of wood that's about as thick as a toothpick. Oh, he did so wonderful. Now give me your money. That's not our school. You know, the thing is, you know, like I say, you know, ours is a fight school. There's Taekwondo sport, and then there's actual Taekwondo, the art. So it's like what my students are learning, they're not using, you know, kicks for everything. We're doing, you know, jabs and reverse punches and spinning back fists. That's all Taekwondo also.
Right.
I have a student that we call Fireball. She's 11 and had a 20-year-old guy come in there and, you know, just playing around with her this and this. And I was like, but she was one of Superfoot students. Still is.
Right.
And I was like, I said, well, you guys can play around the whole thing. I said, well, keep your guard up. I said, because she'll knock you in the teeth. Oh, no, she won't. And I said, okay. I just looked at her. I said, do what you want. She hit him twice in the head with a roundhouse before he even realized what happened. And she's 11.
Hmm.
He quit.
Wow.
So I got an 11-year-old punk out a 20-year-old. I'm just like, okay, that's an issue. But, yeah, there's different types of martial arts schools. You know, what it boils down to is that it's the instructor. It really is. I don't care if it's Brazilian jiu-jitsu, Aikido, Kung Fu, Krav Maga, whatever the flavor of the week is. No matter what you do, it boils down to the teacher. And if the parent and the kid sees you're full of crap and you have no idea what you're talking about, they're out your door.
That's well said.
You know, if you have an instructor that doesn't have knowledge, and he has no idea what he's doing or how to apply that concept or that technique, they're done. They are completely done.
Yeah, I agree. And such as with a lot of things in life, you know, sometimes it just comes down to a substance. What exactly does this person know? How am I going to benefit from being around this person? And then you sort of just go from there, and whatnot. But you know, it's what you're saying is and this is it almost becomes where there's no separation between work and your passion. You know, I was telling Justin the other day, there's something called, and I'm just going off the top of my head here, but there's something called the Horatio's principles. I believe it is, and it basically says you get in any given society, and I don't necessarily agree with this, but it says that in any given society, 80% of the value is produced by 20% of the input, or something along those lines. Again, I don't have it in front of me, but in other words, 80% of production comes from 20% of the economy. Well, if you look at people's lives. Right, where your passion comes from martial arts and teaching martial arts and having trained for so many years, and that's where you get all your value from in life is just teaching, is just giving back to the community, sharing what you know to the other people, and I'm starting to come around to that too, is where. You know, I'm kind of torn between the martial arts world and the political world, but the principle still remains the same. Whereas that whatever you get your value from in life, that's where you got to start to focus everything around. It's like, and then you got people that have a job, and people that have a passion. Well, it seems that the people that are teaching martial arts, there's really no line between. The job and their passion. It's all one and the same. That's where they derive all of their value from. And I think that's very, very important. And it seems like that's what you're doing, Master Summers. It also seems like what you're doing too, Justin, is that you're basically dedicating yourself to what you love, martial arts, and that's where you're getting all your value from.
Oh, absolutely, Bob. And I want to let your listeners know, and I know that Master Summers can testify to this. I want your listeners to know that, you know, with me doing my show, there has been a lot of bumps in the road and a lot of obstacles. And it's really not easy to get to this point, but it has been very rewarding to get to this point. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And there's so many different. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Master Summers.
No, I was just saying, work pays off at the end. That's all there is to it.
Absolutely. And there's so many different. There's so many different rewards that one can get. I mean, you know, I know. With you, Master Summers, you must get so many different types of rewards in your life. I mean, there's the reward of recognition, as you noted earlier. There's the reward of giving back to people, the intrinsic reward that you feel. And so my point is that there's so many incentives out there to, you know, do what you love in life and try to basically help the community by spreading martial arts. And you know, and it goes not to just teaching people techniques. It's so much more of that. As you said earlier in the interview, Master Summers, it's the mindset of a martial artist. And I think that's a very, very important concept that I try to spread too, perhaps in different ways and in different venues, but it's nonetheless important.
Well, you know, there's two types of martial artists. Generally, martial artists, you're honorable martial artist, or being, you know, modest and, you know, just, you know, being cool with everything. And, you know, like Grandmaster Thomas, Jim Thomas, for instance, you know, he's done several things. But he doesn't walk around bragging all the time. You don't know about it. You go to, you know, like my website, the school's website. It doesn't say a thing about how wonderful I am. Oh, I've won so many trophies. I am just God to martial arts. But then you have the other types that there's a guy I know here in, around my town that has, he has a jacket, and it says, you know, PKA state champion. And we're talking a black jacket with big, bold, white letters all the way down his back of how wonderful he is.
Right.
You know, that's just, it's two different animals there. You know, you should be humble and give back to your community. You know, it's like today before the interview, I had, we're starting like a free bullying class.
Right.
Today's my day off. I didn't have to go in there. I don't have to do this garbage. I don't have to do anything. But when kids are getting picked on to the point where they're teeter-chattering, that needs to be done. So
right.
This kids came in, the girl came in, head down, looking at her toes. 45 minutes later, she walked out smiling and her head was held high. That
right.
is what you do as a martial artist. That is what we do. And if it's all about the money, and you're going to charge for a self-defense class, and you're going to charge for bullying, then you're not in the right mindset for it. Because I'm sure not going to be offering help kids that are being bullied, then turn around and charge your parents $10 a head.
Right.
As far as this is what you got to do. You got to give back to the community. We've done free realm of self-defense up every year, and every year I have some woman damage me badly. I have no control. I've had my lip split. I've had my finger broke. You know, nothing against women, so don't start on me. I'm just, they're dangerous sometimes. That's what you got to do. You know, you got to give back. That's what a martial artist
right.
is. You give back, man.
Mm-hmm. Well said. Justin, do you have anything you want to add?
I just wanted to add something that I want your listeners to really take in. There's a lot of different martial arts programs like mine on the internet and probably all over the world. But with my program, you know, there's there's certain circles and certain martial artists that are at war with each other that, you know, want to compete with each other. Well, with my station, that crap is set aside. I don't care who you are. If you got a good story that you want to pass along, I don't turn no martial artist away, regardless whether I've had, you know, one of their rivals on my show. And I think that's what makes my show unique, is because I'm doing my best to bring peace and unity back to the martial arts world, if that makes any sense whatsoever.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
So,
you know, that's
well said, and you know.
Well, you know, it's like with Jim Thomas, he's in charge of the USA Martial Arts Alliance. And that was one of the big issues. If you look at the Alliance logo, it says a unity within all martial arts, like what Justin was talking about.
Right.
So it's like when you go to, like, an Alliance event, you know, I'm the state director for Indiana for the Alliance and stuff. It's not... It's great to go to these events. Like the USA, the Hall of Fame event, they have a tournament. And it is a blast for one reason. Because it's Kung Fu. You have Jiu-Jitsu. You have Tang Soo-Do. You have Hapkido. You have Aikido. It's a mix. And everybody gets together and learns from each other and has a ball. And that's what it's supposed to be about. It's not supposed to be like, well, Bob, you know, my style is better than your style because your style sucks and I'm the best. None of that garbage is there. So, you know, what Justin's doing is dead on what he needs to do. It's everybody from every style, that they have a rival with each other, who really cares? They're coming on the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very important. And that sends a good message out there to the community. And that's, you know, as a broadcaster, that's because I get that too. I mean, I have to... interview, deal with various different promotions, and you know, at the end of the day, you have to basically give to your audience. You have to decide as a broadcaster, what is your purpose in doing the show? Is it to bring content to the audience? Is it to sort of align yourself with a different faction for your own benefit or whatnot? And you know, what I find, I probably could speak for you as well, Justin, is that most people that do podcasting, particularly the nature of our shows, are in it really to better the community, to better the martial arts world. In my case, I put a lot of emphasis on creating a public library of sorts for individuals out there. You know, I want people to know that the hardcore MMA fans that listen to my show, you know, what was the backstory between Matt Hughes and Ben Rothwell or Tito Ortiz and this training partner? You know, what can people learn from their information? Because I look at, you know, the corporate media landscape, and they're not getting that type of information on corporate owned media sites out there. And also, I care about the welfare of the MMA fighter out there. I mean, despite what you hear or what you see on television, the MMA fighters out there are still really, really hurting. It's been said that the average MMA fighter makes $11,000 a year. And that's really, really abysmal when you look at, you know, a multi-billion dollar industry out there. And so that's my way. And you know, I don't really care about, you know, competing factions, promotions. I don't try to curry favor with anybody in the MMA world. I am who I am. And I think that's what you're doing too, Justin, is you're the product that you're releasing out there is intended to benefit the martial arts community. It's intended to give martial artists a platform and have people learn about, you know, people's careers and their journeys and their accomplishments and what it all means in the end. That's the most important stuff. It's when you start to throw this competition in there that's when things get skewed. So I could definitely see what you're saying there, my friend.
Oh, absolutely. And next year, Bob, if I can do a little bit of promotion for a second here, I have big plans for 2015. I mean, I've got high expectations, not necessarily meaning that this is going to happen, but I have plans to contact Chuck Norris and Michael J. White. But I can tell you this, and you heard it first on Carson's Corner, I will actually have James Wilson on the show in 2015. He's a producer of The Martial Arts Kid and also the brother of Don the Dragon Wilson. Not only that, but I'm working on a huge show. I'm going to be trying to interview Don the Dragon Wilson and Cynthia Rothrock at the same time about The Martial Arts Kid.
That's amazing. That's amazing. And maybe you can even interview them or meet them at the 2015 USA Martial Arts Hall of Fame. Yeah, Master Summers, I just want to kind of throw it to you here. Do you have anything that you want to add or you think needs to be addressed that we haven't covered thus far?
No, you know, like I said, you know, as far as like what you're saying about how your shows, the broadcasting, everything is going to be done with your jazz and stuff, is everything is dead accurate, whereas it's a wide open thing. There's no allegiance on one side or the other, and, you know, Justin's doing a hell of a job. That's why I nominated him. And like I said, it should be a pretty good year coming up for Justin and everyone else, the way it sounds. So, yeah, that's, you know, sounds pretty good to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just want to thank you for all that you do, and thank you for your contributions to the martial arts world. And it's recognizing Justin and acknowledging him for everything that he's done. Like I said earlier, it provides an incentive for people out there to contribute to the martial arts community, and it's great to have people like you and people like Justin and myself who inevitably come together in the world of martial arts. You know, I consider all of us allies here on the call, and so it's important for us to kind of link up. I hope we can work together. I hope, you know, we could do more interviews in the future. Justin?
Say that again, Bob. I'm sorry.
No, I was basically wrapped up. I just threw it to you, basically.
Wrapping up, I want to say to each and everyone out there, live your dreams. Nothing is out of reach. You just have to work at it. Even if you fail, a failure is a way to become successful. And I've actually, you know, eventually I'm hoping to actually breaking into movies and stuff, because I've actually had different movie stars actually, you know, approach me and say, you know, I hope that, you know, you're in one of my films one day. And, you know, that's on my to-do list. I want people to dream big, but you got to work for it to get there is my point.
Oh, yeah.
Well said. Do we have any websites that we want to give out to the listeners of the show?
Go ahead, Mr. Summers. You go first.
All right. Let's see. Superfoot. Bill Wallace's Superfoot is superfoot.com. And then my school's website is whitetigersalem.com. And it's got a lot of other people on there that are grandmasters of our school, such as Hanchi Victor Moore, Grandmaster Jim Thomas, and then, of course, Bill Superfoot Wallace.
Mm-hmm.
Justin?
Yeah, I'm here, Bob.
Do you want to give out any websites?
Oh, of course. And after I do that, can I say one more thing before we wrap up, Bob?
Sure.
Okay, my websites are Justin Ray Harvey at Facebook and at Twitter. You can basically find me everywhere now. You can even find my shows in iTunes at just the Justin Harvey Show under the podcast category. And Bob, I wanted to mention and say a special thank you to Master Summers, because without his assistance, this would not be possible. But coming soon, I will be conducting interviews with martial artist and actor Jeff Mead, also Master Eric Lee.
Well, we'll have to encourage everybody to look forward to those shows. They can hear them on the sites that you've given as well. I just want to thank you guys both for coming on the show here today. It was great to have this conversation, and we look forward to Justin Harvey, the Justin Harvey Show, being inducted into the 2015 USA Martial Arts Hall of Fame. Again, thank you, Master Summers. Hope to interview you sometime down the line. Maybe we'll get your take on some other issues as they develop. And thanks you again, Justin, for being my close friend and for coming on the show here again and giving people an update on what you've got going on. So that's it. We're going to end this interview. Again, thanks a lot. And make sure to support each and every website that you heard during the course of this interview. And then, we'll go from there. So thanks again, guys.
Thank you, Bob.
Thanks.